Qatar is a very interesting little country, little being the operative word. It's tiny, insignificant, there's nobody there, and yet they are so wealthy with so many oil reserves that they are completely batting above their weight, but hugely so. And an article today which was really, really concerning was put out by an affiliate of the Qatari government calling for Hamas to take more military hostages in Israel. It's a shocking statement. I would imagine that nothing in Qatar happens without the approval of the Qatari state. And so for that reason, I'm going to talk to Martin Sherman, a senior researcher at the Israel Defense and Security Forum. Martin, thanks for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon. Yeah, let's just talk about the role of Qatar. On one hand, supposed to be an honest broker. On the other hand, clearly not.
Well, I don't think anyone really believes it's an honest broker. Qatar is very firmly inside Hamas's campaign. And I think the Israeli government somewhat misguidedly believes that they can use it as a intermediary in hostage release. And I don't think that it has a genuine status as an intermediary.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it's just pure Israeli policy.
Pure Israeli policy, but clearly they're very good at doing what it is they do. What with airplanes to Donald Trump, military bases, they're very good at playing both sides of the coin.
Well, if you've got a lot of money, you can afford. That's the advantage of being very rich. They have a GDP per capita, which is closing in on $80,000 a year. And so they can afford themselves all sorts of mischief. They don't really have to expend money on things that other more equitable countries do.
Martin, the story that made the headlines today about a Qatari news affiliate calling for the kidnapping by Hamas of more Israeli soldiers, do you think that a media outlet in Qatar could put out such a statement without the support and approval of the Qatari authorities?
Probably not, but I think Israel has been very unstrategic in the issue of the hostages. For Hamas, hostages have become the mother load. And if you're a Hamas supporter, I think that it's more or less the obvious route to go. I think Israel has played its hand very badly with the whole issue of hostages. People don't seem to realize this, but the whole event of the 7th of October was the result of a hostage release, a deal with hostages. All the leaders of the October
Gilad Shalit,
including Sinwar, were people who were prisoners who were released under the Gilad Shalit hostage deal.
No good
will come out of these hostage releases.
So that's what I was interested in.
The way they're being conducted now.
That's what I was interested in. You've mentioned that a few times during this interview. You've spoken that Israel has handled the situation badly. Are you referring to this particular event, or are you talking to hostage takings in general?
I think hostage taking in general. Israel used to be very firm that they would not negotiate with terrorists. And if you remember the Entebbe raid, that was part of the Israeli ethos, to undertake daring rescue attempts rescue missions, which succeeded in most cases. In fact, Bibi Netanyahu himself was wounded in a hostage release on the runway in Tel Aviv airport, the Sabena plane. If you remember, a Sabena airline was hijacked and Israeli commandos dressed as mechanics stormed the plane and released it. The last few, decades or so, that Israel has sort of broken this ethos of not negotiating with terrorists.
Can we date that?
And turn the hostages into the most valuable commodity any terrorist could want.
Can we date that? Do you know when this approach changed by Israel?
I don't remember, but it was with there was strangely enough under Shamir. I think it was in the late my memory is not what it should be, but I think it was in the late 1980s, around that time.
I wonder if it makes any difference, the fact that these are Israeli citizens who were taken hostage because of the failure by the state. Do you not think, under those circumstances, there's a moral obligation to have them returned?
You know, of course there's a moral obligation to have them returned, but it must be coercive, not consensual. You know,
isn't that exactly what Bibi is doing?
Everyone knows as a matter of certainty that the terrorists released in this hostage exchange, in the hostage deal, will commit acts of terror in which Israeli civilians will die in the future. And the question that must be placed, the moral question that must be placed on the table, is why is the fate of the current hostages more precious than, or more important than, the fate and the lives of future victims that will be the result of these hostage releases? You know, what moral standard are you using to compare it?
I think
because the terrorists being released to gain the freedom of the hostages will, for certain, as a matter of statistical certainty, engage in future acts of terrorists, which will result in the death of Israeli citizens.
I hear you. On the other hand, I've seen representatives of the hostage families say that the social contract in Israel is such that mothers give their children to the army with the absolute solid knowledge, knowing that if anything happens to them, Israel will do all within its power to bring them back. And that's the social contract. And if that breaks...
Yeah, but that's a bit of a distortion, because they have a social contract with the future victims. I think Israel must do everything that it can to release. What happens if Hamas came up with a demand that we have to sacrifice a dozen blonde virgins for every hostage released? you know, at some stage, you know, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, these are very complex, difficult moral questions. Martin Sherman, thank you for talking to us on Chai FM. I think we're all going to have to grapple this in our own individual way and somehow come to our own answers. I'm very glad that I'm not having to make these decisions, because, boy, oh boy, this is Sophie's choice. Absolutely Sophie's choice.